Jerry Clifton's going to be with us next weekend. So I want you all to get out and invite some people to come. We haven't had them for a while, and they are really excited to be coming. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We're going to be reading some scripture to start out with today. You know, I usually don't do that. I just kind of throw in some here and there. But we're going to be talking about encouragement today and how awesome it was the Holy Spirit decided to just start us out that way this morning. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. 1 Samuel 30, verse 1, and we'll probably be reading about through verse 8. And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag, on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burnt it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein, they slew not any either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. Wives, sons, and daughters were taken captive. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice, wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives. And David was greatly distressed. For the people spake of stoning him, because the soul of the people was grieved, every man for his sons, for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. So say that with me. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Amen. Verse 8, and David inquired of the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So before David could get his confirmation from the Lord and his encouraging word from the Lord, he had to encourage himself. Because on bad days, and when we are discouraged, sometimes it's hard to hear from the Lord. So today I want to preach a message that I would title, Staying Encouraged on the Bad Days of Life. Staying encouraged on the bad days of life. Webster defines bad as more unpleasant than usual. Have you ever had days when they just weren't as good as the day before? Distressing, likely to cause unhappiness or disappointment. There are days when it seems like, as you've heard the saying, life has gone to the south, so to speak, everything's gone to the south. The prophetic word you receive seems impossible to be meant for you. The promotion that you knew that was coming your way was suddenly given to somebody else. The unexpected phone call that we all dread in the middle of the night. We have all had those days, and at the end, we'd say, I should have stayed in the bed, kept my head covered up today. You ever had those bad days? Amen. But life goes on. But life goes on. Amen. In the midst of those bad days, life goes on with or without us. So some people, you know, I mean, I don't know about the details of your life. Some people are more expressive than others, and some are not. But here was a man that was having a very bad day. A man that was after God's own heart. A man that was out doing what he sensed God was calling him to do. In Samuel chapter 30, we have heard the story of a man named David. Samuel had already anointed him king over Israel. He was declared to be a man after God's own heart, chosen and set apart to lead God's people. But then, after going out and doing what he felt like he needed to do to the enemy, and then whatever they're called, you know, the kites, the tights, and all them that get you in trouble. David and his men returned back home to Ziklag, and when they returned, they found everything burned to the ground. Their wives and children had been taken captive by the enemy. So even on David's own men turned against him. So you're having a really bad day when your own turns against you. Have you ever had family turn against you? That's a bad day. Amen. When your own family and your own would turn against you, you could say that is a bad day. So verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and his daughters. And the word tells us, but David encouraged himself in the Lord. So as David looked around him in the heap of all the ashes, he saw only discouraged and downcast men. So what do you do when you look around for help and everybody else around you is discouraged? And everybody else around you is downcast. So what do you do then? So he could have started out by blaming all this on God. He could have said, God, I'm your child. I'm serving you. I'm doing everything I know to do. I'm going to church. I'm paying my tithes. I'm loving people. And the enemy has come down, taken everything that was of value to me that I love, and even burned the city down. He could have started blaming God. Or he could have started blaming himself. You know, what have I done to deserve all this? What have I done for all this to happen to me? It could be because you're anointed and you're a child of God. And he's trying to get you discouraged so that you would quit. But before David at that moment in David's life was a very key moment. Like the sometimes moments in our lives, a very, very critical times at the moments that sometimes in our bad days that we make the right decision. So at this point, David had a choice to quit, to give up, back down, or he had a choice to stand up and fight. Amen. But before David could fight, before he could stand up and fight back, he had to get his strength and his courage back. Verse 6 again, we say that David encouraged himself in the Lord, or strengthened himself, as some Bible translation says. Strengthened himself in the Lord. Encourage means to strengthen oneself. We could use the word to trust again. Through David's example, we can see how we can be encouraged and strengthened and trust in God on the bad days of our life. So when you begin to strengthen yourself in the Lord, your faith becomes strong because that's the voice of your faith speaking. All David knew to do was encourage himself in the Lord, not knowing the results. But he chose to put his trust in the Lord, not knowing the outcome of how God was going to work it out. But he made the choice that day not to blame God, not to blame himself, but to encourage himself in the Lord. And so the trust is not in yourself, the strength is not in yourself to stand up and fight, but it's the one that lives inside of you. He's just asking that you stand up in the middle of the ashes and encourage yourself again. So God is the trust is not in yourself because we're not strong enough within ourselves. God is, though, and he does what we cannot do. He will do on your behalf what you cannot do on those bad days. So immediately after David encouraged himself in the Lord, there was a radical change in David and even in David's men. So instead of stoning him, they began to follow him again and overtook their enemies. They rescued their families and returned with animals and all kinds of other stuff too. God will give you double for your bad days. God will give you double for your trouble. You'll stand and encourage yourself in the Lord in the midst of the ashes. So how could David, who was cornered, about to be stoned to death, turn around and inspire these angry, grieving, tired men to successfully undertake this? What brought such a transformation in David's life and in the life of his men? David encouraged himself to the point that it took the focus off of the bad day and on God. And he inquired of the Lord, and we read in verse 8, and David inquired of the Lord at that point, after he encouraged himself, he inquired of the Lord and said, shall I pursue after this troop, overtake them? And God answered, yes. Now that you've encouraged yourself in me, after you've got your focus off of everything that was destroyed and what the enemy was doing, you've got your focus back on me, you've changed your perspective, amen? And now your focus is back on me, you've encouraged yourself in me, so go ahead and overtake them, and without fail, recover all. Amen? God is telling you today that you're about to recover all. Hallelujah. Woo! That which the enemy has meant to destroy you and your family and your children, God says all he's asking you to do is stand in the midst of the ashes because you're about to recover all. And God's going to give you double for your trouble. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the devil is after joy in your life. The children that brought you such joy until they got up the ages, you don't know what happened to them. They got smacked. by a dumb devil or something. God said he's going to restore that joy that you've had for your children. Because you've stood in the gap and you've prayed for them. So the devil is after your joy in life. Nehemiah says, do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Sorrow means to grieve. And when you're standing in the middle of a bad day and it's nothing but ashes around you, don't grieve. Don't grieve. Amen? For the joy of the Lord is your strength. In the bad days of life, we choose to grieve or we choose to rise up and be encouraged and trust the one that we serve to see us through. Psalms 30 tells us, weeping may endure for a night. You may be grieved just for a little while, and then you will begin to remember that joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. I don't know when your morning will be or how your morning will come about. But when we trust God, he's got the bigger picture in mind. Amen. So we know David as a worshiper. We know David as a man after God's own heart. In the midst of all the crazy choices David made, he still had a heart that wanted to serve God. He still had a heart that wanted to pursue God. So David was a worshiper. And I could see him encouraging himself in the Lord, church. I can just see him standing, and this is my own interpretation of it. I can see him sitting in the midst of the ashes and ruins. I can see him getting out his harp, and he just began to sing, bless the Lord, oh my soul. I'll not forget all of his benefits. I can hear him taking his harp and singing, oh, magnify the Lord with me. Come and let us magnify his name. David was encouraging himself in the Lord. When something is magnified, we understand that it's made bigger. But we cannot make God any bigger because he's God all by himself. But when we choose to stand and magnify God in the midst of the ashes of the bad day, we begin to see God for who he is. We begin to see God as more than enough. Amen? Because you can't make him any more than more enough. But when we choose to encourage ourselves in the Lord, church, God begins to be magnified in our eyes as to who he already is. Amen? So we cannot make him any bigger. But when we begin to praise him, it takes our eyes off of the situation, off of the bad day. And God becomes who he is already in our eyes at that moment. So in the middle of a bad day, it seems if we may be locked in a prison of hopelessness. But then we can begin to sing praises to God. Remember, Paul and Silas were out doing good. Amen. They were out doing good for the Lord. They were out ministering to people. And then they found themselves locked up in prison. But at the very darkest time of their life, it says in the midnight hour, because it's always after midnight. You've had children, they were growing up. They always got sick after midnight. Their fever's always spiked at midnight. You always get that bad phone call in the middle of the night. So I don't know what midnight hour you may be going through. Amen. Paul and Silas was chained in the lowest part of the jail, and they began to sing praises to God. In other words, they began to encourage themselves in the Lord in the middle of their prison experience. And pretty soon, everybody heard them. So you know why the enemy wants to keep you discouraged and keep you remembering your bad day and keep you in the ashes? Because you never know when you yourself get encouraged, it will encourage everybody around you. Because, you know, you're anointed to be an encourager. And he wants you to keep your mouth shut. He wants you to be discouraged. He doesn't want you to get out of your bad day. Like I said before, church life is not just all about us. I realized that one day, it popped my bubble. But life is not all about us. So the enemy wants to keep you discouraged, keep you in the shackles of prison, of grief and sorrow, that why has this happened to me? Why should this happen to me? You know, and all of this, because you never know when you begin to encourage yourself, it's going to encourage somebody else. Amen. It's going to encourage the person next to you, your spouse or your children or the people at work. That's why the enemy wants to steal your joy, because if he could steal your joy, he could defeat you. But God has given you a song. Amen. So I just want to leave you with some things today to be encouraged. God, first of all, God never changes his mind, his purpose, or his nature. Amen. Be encouraged today, church. God never changes His mind, purpose, or nature. Malachi 3:6 says, "For I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed." Though everything around your world may be changed by one bad day, that one phone call, that one thing somebody could say to you that turns things around, you can know without a shadow of a doubt, God does not change His mind concerning you and His plans for you because of the bad day that you're having. Amen. So we can say life is like a boat, constantly moving. Life goes on with or without us. We're constantly moving. We can choose to sit idly by and not partake in it, or we can choose to stay on the boat, ride the waves out, amen, and we say life is like being in a boat with constant movement, but God's Word is like stepping on solid ground. Amen. God's Word, that solid foundation of the Word of God, is what will withhold you and uphold you in the times of a bad day when you're standing in the middle of ashes. It doesn't change like a shifting of a boat on water. The Bible tells us your word in Psalms 119, 89, your word, O Lord, is eternal. It stands firm in the heavens. Matthew 5:18 says, I tell you the truth, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, nor the least stroke of the pen will by any means disappear from the word until everything is accomplished. The bad day will pass. Amen. This too shall pass, church. Mark 13:31 says, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words will never pass away. So be encouraged today that God is in control of all of you and what concerns you. God says that God's word says, but my God shall supply all of your need. Be encouraged today. All of your need, according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. The scope of human need is very wide. Amen. Very wide. That no matter how great the human needs are, God has the ability to meet those needs. Our trust is not in our job. Our trust is in God, the one that gave us our job. Amen. Our trust is not in people, because people will fail you and let you down. Our trust is in God that says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will uphold you with my right arm. Amen. And I will never let you go. God is super abundant to meet whatever you need that you may have. He didn't promise to supply all of our wants or wishes, but He said, I'll supply those things that you need. But like a good father, He does sneak in something every once in a while that we just kind of want that we don't need. Because He's a good, good God. Amen. Sometimes we may not understand the purpose of the bad day, but the meaning of that bad day can make a drastic turnaround when we get a different perspective of it. I remember reading this story, and I got it out, and I wanted to share it with the message today. A minister went to visit a woman who was very despondent and bitter at God over the circumstances of her life. As the minister tried to give her some words of comfort, she gave him the cold shoulder and kept working her way at her knitting needle work. Now, for those of you who don't know what needle work is, I would never do it. It's these little bitty things. You take this needle and you follow these lines. So he was way at her needle work. So she was developing a picture on one side of the material. Finally, she said, if God was really doing His job, my life wouldn't be such a mess. I would not be continually having bad days one after the other. The minister, on a sudden inspiration, stepped over, snatched the needlework from the woman's hands, looking at the underside, which was a tangle of cut threads. So when you're doing needlework, and the top of it looks all pretty because you're following these lines. And pretty soon when you turn it over to the other side, all it is a tangle of threads because you're constantly going back and forth. So it's just a tangled mess on the other side of that needlework. And looking at the other underside, which is a tangled cut of threads, said, I don't know why you're bothered doing this. It looks like nothing but a jumble of meaningless threads. She snatched it back and declared, you're looking at the wrong side. It's on this other side that you can see the design I'm working on. That is my point exactly, the minister said. You're looking at the wrong side of what God is doing in your life. It's all about changing your perspective. Amen? So he has a wonderful plan, and you need to see it from heaven's point of view. Because when we look at things from heaven's point of view, it takes on a whole different perspective. Amen? When we get a heaven's view of things, in the middle of the ashes, it takes on a whole different perspective. And the next thing I want to encourage you with today is God's grace abounds in your bad day. God's grace is just abounding all around you. And if you will begin to stand and encourage yourself, that grace is going to catch you. And it's going to overtake you. God's love, as he told us in the Word, is going to consume you. Hallelujah. A grace that's free. You know, in many parts of the country, corporations have to buy the favor of those that are in power so that they can stay in power. Amen? But to get what they want or to do their business there. But aren't you glad that we don't have to buy our favor and grace from God? It was already paid for. And all we have to do is to believe. I'm a believer. Amen? Are you a believer today? So we don't have to try to buy what God's already paid for. It's free to us. He says, come without money. Come without all these things and just receive what I have freely given. Grace greater than all our bad days put together. Paul said, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounds, grace did much more abound. Romans 5:20. So the bad days, when they are abounding, amen, you may think, well, I've committed some sin, I've done something wrong. But he says, oh no, my grace abounds even more. I've already paid the price for your past sin, your future sin, and that stupid thing that you're going to do tomorrow that may cost you to be in the ashes. I've already paid the price for it. All you've got to do is receive my grace because it's abounding for you. So no matter how great a bad day is, God's favor for you in Christ is greater. Amen. So God, number two, next one, I don't know which number I'm at now. God's love, another thing to encourage you with, is God's love will never let you go. God's love will never let you go. And I got a picture of that a few weeks ago about God leaning into us. Because we're in the midst of a bad day. Sometimes we don't have strength to pull ourselves up. Amen. And sometimes it's hard to get to that place where we can begin to encourage ourselves in the Lord. But God will always send somebody by. He'll always have a billboard sign or something on the radio. It could be a secular news program. God can use anything he wants to use, church. Amen. It could be anything. And all at once, that spark of hope begins to say, oh, yes. Yes, and then that spirit man begins to rise up in you. And that word that you've been taught here and that word that you've taught yourself begins to rise up in you. And then you begin to encourage yourself in the Lord. And then you can begin to sense God leaning into you. That's him leaning into you. And when he does that, all you got to do is fall in the grace of God, into his arms. Amen. So though we resent and resist it, though we go against it and do everything to oppose it sometimes, he still loves us. And no matter how much you wiggle to try to get out of his hands, he will not let you go. God's got his grip on you, and he will not let you go. What else God's love is stronger than? Paul penned in Romans 8:35-39, what bad day shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril of sword. That's having a bad day when those things are happening in your life. Amen? Nay, he says, no way in all these things. We are more than. Amen. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded, are you persuaded today, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature, or no bad day, no bad report, hallelujah, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you feel separated from God today, it's because you have chose to make yourself feel that way. And he's leaning into you today. And I encourage you just to fall back on him. He's got you covered, church. He has got you covered. So be encouraged to know that he loves you and know that he sees you in the bad day. Nothing can stop him from loving you. The Lord appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved you with an everlasting love. I have drawn you with loving kindness. Jeremiah 31:3. For those of you that are familiar with Stephen Curtis Chapman's gospel music, he's a Christian gospel singer and wrote the songs that he sings. I'd say most of them. But he and his wife, Mary Beth, were already the parents of three biological children. And God led them to China. And so they ended up adopting three little girls from China. And one of the little girls was named Maria. And when Maria, this happened, I think, several years ago. And when Maria was 3 years old, she ran in the path of her older brother's SUV. And a few days later, died from her injuries. Now, here was a man and wife traveling all over the world, ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ in song, ministering to people, led to adopt children, adopt these little girls from China. So here one little girl ran into the path of her older brother's vehicle, and she died a few days later at the hospital. And out of that song, Stephen Curtis Chapman wrote, out of that tragedy, Stephen Chapman wrote a song called Beauty Will Rise, a song called Beauty Will Arise. And one of the verses in that song says, out of these ashes, beauty will arise, and we will dance among the ruins. We will see it with our own eyes. Out of those ashes, beauty will arise. For we know joy is coming in the morning. In the morning, beauty will rise. And when going through a bad day, when you choose to encourage yourself in the Lord, you don't see the bigger picture, but God does. And God doesn't take tragedy in our lives and then heals us from it. It tries to prove he's God, church. The best thing you could do for yourself is to know that God is a good God. And he's got your best interest in your mind. And the devil is a bad devil. And he's out to steal, to kill, and to destroy from you. But out of the ashes of this tragedy in their life, and I was going to write the rest of the testimony down, but I didn't. He built, I think it was some kind of orphanage or some kind of adoption place called Maria's Hope or something like that. You can get online and read about it. But out of that tragedy now, millions of children have been adopted through the tragedy of that one girl, a Christian home where they could be loved and taken care of. So you never know when you choose to rise yourself out of that bad day who you are encouraging and what God's going to build on something the enemy meant for harm. God can take it and say, no, no, no. That's not going to happen in their life. They're my child, and I'm going to take care of them. Amen. So God will give you your own song. And it may never be recorded. You may never stand up and sing it. But it'll be your song. And when you're going through a crisis or you're going through a bad day and you're in the middle of ashes and your family and everybody else has turned their back on you, you can sing that song. It's like the message I preached before. God, the devil is after to steal your song. And if he can steal your song, he can steal your joy. Because every one of us has got a song in our heart that is just our personal love song between us and God. Stand to your feet this morning. I want you to bow your heads and I just want you to close your eyes for a few moments. If you're here today and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you may be listening over the internet at this message today or in the days ahead. But if you're here in our midst today and you want to accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, or maybe you feel like you've just strayed away from Him and you just need someone to pray for you, to say, you know, I just need to come back home to Jesus. He's been waiting for you just to step back. It's just one step away. Just raise your hand right now. I want to pray for you where you're at. I want to embarrass you or anything. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, today's a good day to make Him Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. All you have to do is just say, come, Lord, forgive me of all my sins. I accept what you did on Calvary and be part of the kingdom of God and be part and be his child. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this word today. Thank you for your anointing that's been in the house today, that none of us are going to leave this place like we came in Jesus' name. We thank you for that, to God, for today. Lord, just as you have encouraged those that are present today, there's names on this prayer list that need to be encouraged also. And we just speak your word over them and use the authority that you have given us. We speak healing over them in the name of Jesus. We come against every attack of the enemy, against their body and against their mind. In Jesus' name, we declare them healed and we declare them whole in the name of Jesus. That you're the God of restoration for their lives. That you've paid the price that they can be restored into right relationship with you. You've paid the price that they can be healed. And I speak healing over them in Jesus' name. I speak healing and salvation over them in the name of Jesus. You and your household will serve the Lord. And Father, we thank you that we take what we receive from you this week and go forth with that anointing on us, not only that we have been encouraged, but we've been anointed to be an encourager. And I speak that over every person right now in the name of Jesus, that you are anointed to be an encourager. And it might just take one word from you to change somebody's life this coming week or even today. And I speak God's blessings over you, church, that you're the head and not the tail. That God's grace abounds toward you. The favor of the Lord runs to overtake you. And you are blessed with everything that you put your hands to. God's favor rests mightily on you. God's favor rests mightily on New Life for the Nations Church. And you are the glory of God that shall be seen in the land in this day. And the church said, amen. If you stand for the leadership meeting, it will be here in the sanctuary and won't keep you very long.